And we had a great weekend with the 45 this weekend. I got to be a part of that dance party with the Angel set. We 8 to 10 Friday night, we were just worshiping and people were going crazy worshiping Jesus. It was a fun night. One cool thing that happened that night, we prayed for the sick, and a girl who was sick with asthma, Cassie, right over here, raise your hand, Cassie, was healed of asthma on Friday night. Praise the Lord. So awesome. And we just believe that God loves to heal. We believe that. We not only believe it, we are seeing it happen. And just so pumped about that. I want to just reiterate a couple of things that just came on the loop here. A week from tomorrow is the beginning of our media fast. And we are unplugging for 21 days. You know what? I tell you, it's such a great thing. The first day or two, you might have a real struggle, but you're going to find that all of a sudden your inner life is way more calm. The makeup of who you are just calms down from all the noise. It's amazing how much noise we have. So a week from tomorrow, we're going to start that. And it's just going to be a time to just silence the noise and silence all those voices and press into the Father and ask Him for an increase of capacity in us for His presence and for the kingdom. How many want an increase in your capacity for the things of God? That's what this fast is going to be about. The other thing I want to just share too is that we are so pumped about life groups starting this week. And we've had over 260, 270 people commit to being in a life group from this congregation. And that's a pretty awesome thing, right? If you are someone that looked at those groups and said, "Oh, I don't look like I don't feel like I might fit into one of these groups," we are encouraging you to start one next semester. If you can't beat them, join them. If you can't join them, beat them. It's the opposite. And take an opportunity to maybe you want to lead a group. There's going to be lots of groups starting. We had 21 groups start this time. And I think there are actually still a few openings. You can look online for that. But if you're interested in possibly leading a group, I encourage you to just go to hopechurch.net on that homepage. And there's a little tab up at the top that says getting involved, get involved. Click on that and you'll see just below that for a life group leader application. Fill that application out and you'll be contacted. So we're really pumped about that happening. So this morning, I said last week that I have I'm not too creative with the titles of messages. And but I used a little extra creativity for this week. Last week, we called the message First Things First. And this week, we're calling it First Things First Part 2. How do you like that one? The creativity the Lord gives me, it's just amazing. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to open it up to Matthew 22, starting with verse 35. It's going to be on the screen behind me. And so words of Jesus, Matthew 22, starting with 35. And it says, "And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question," talking about Jesus. They're questioning Jesus. "Asked him a question to test him. 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?' And he said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' And Jesus says, 'On these two commandments depends all the law and the prophets.'" So Jesus says, the first thing, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Another place it says strength. And he says, and a second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, what's interesting to this about this passage to me is that Jesus wasn't asked for two commandments. He was asked for the greatest. The lawyer guy, the Pharisee, he asked for the greatest, but Jesus responds with two. How many know that oftentimes when we ask Jesus questions, he doesn't always respond exactly to the question we've asked? He comes back with like what he really just wants to say. And he's done that here. He raises the stakes and he says, the second comes right alongside the first. And he says, in fact, everything in the entire Old Testament, in some sense, depends on these two things. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Everything hinges on these two. This is so powerful, isn't it? You know, I find that people everywhere are looking for vision. Everywhere I go, everyone in this room is looking for vision because we perish when we don't have vision, right? We're all looking for vision in our lives. And I want to just suggest to you that this is really, these two things are really the supreme vision, the supreme purpose for existence. Loving God, loving our neighbors, loving those around us. Everything comes back to these two. Everything hinges on love. We're going to read a bunch of scripture today. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Right up front. And sometimes I feel like, man, I read too much of the Bible when I preach. But I just have to do it because it's so good. So I just want to pray real quick before we start. Is that all right? Yeah, Lord, I pray that in this service, this 10:30 service, God, that you would give us ears to hear. I just pray that over everyone in this room, ears to hear, hearts to understand, and that our hearts would, as we understand what you're saying and speaking to us, that God, we would respond with action. I pray right now that our prayer isn't even just be near. Our prayer is that you are near. You're here right now, and you're here to open up your word to us. You're here to speak to our hearts. You're here to change our lives. God, I want to be changed after this 45 minutes is over. I want to be different. I want my heart different. I pray that over everyone in this room. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to read to you Luke chapter 6 out of the Message. It's such a powerful passage from Jesus, and the Message reads it so plainly. Luke chapter 6. Verse 27 to 42. And Jesus says this, to you who are ready for the truth. How many of you here are ready for the truth today? Can I see your hand? For you who are ready for the truth, he says, I say this, love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer for that person. If someone slaps you in the face, stand there and take it. If somebody grabs your shirt, gift wrap your best coat and make a present of it. If someone takes unfair advantage of you, use the occasion to practice the servant life. No more tit for tat stuff. Jesus says, live generously. Here's a simple rule of thumb for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you, and then grab the initiative and do it back for them. If you only love the lovable, do you expect a pat on the back? Run-of-the-mill sinners do that. If you only help those who help you, do you expect a medal? Garden variety sinners do that. If you only give for what you hope to get out of it. Do you think that's charity? The stingiest of pawnbrokers does that. But Jesus says, I tell you, love your enemies. Can we say that together? Love your enemies. Help and give without expecting a return. You'll never, I promise, regret it. Live out this God-created identity the way our Father lives towards us, generously and graciously, even when we're at our worst. Our Father is kind. You be kind. That's one for the church. Our Father is kind. You be kind. Don't pick on people or jump on their failures. Criticize their faults, unless, of course, you want the same treatment. That's so good for us to hear, isn't it? Don't pick on people, church. Don't jump on their failures. Don't criticize their faults. Unless, of course, you want the same treatment. You know what I find with people that are really critical of others? They're also extremely self-critical. He says, don't do that. Don't condemn those who are down. That hardness can boomerang. Be easy on people. You'll find your life a lot easier. Give away your life. You'll find life given back, but not merely given back. Given back with bonus and blessing. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets generosity. And then he quoted a proverb. He said, can a blind man guide a blind man? Wouldn't they both end up in the ditch? An apprentice doesn't lecture the master. The point is to be careful who you follow as your teacher. It's easy to see a smudge on your neighbor's face and be oblivious to the ugly sneer on your own. Do you have the nerve to say, let me wash your face for you, when your own face is distorted by contempt? It's this I know better than you mentality again, playing a holier than thou part instead of just living your own part. Jesus says, wipe that ugly sneer off your own face, and you might be fit to offer a washcloth to your neighbor. And I don't know, in my mind, I said this earlier, in my mind, I sort of imagine Jesus smiling saying that. Wipe that ugly sneer off your face, and you might be fit to offer a washcloth to your neighbor. Should we just be done now? Can you? I don't know if I can handle any more than that. It's like a lot, right? So Jesus says, love your enemies. He says, love your enemies. When somebody takes advantage of you, practice the servant life. Live generously. Don't just love the lovable. Even the world does that. It's easy to love the people that are in your circle that you like. He's talking about love the people that aren't like you. Love the people that are difficult. Love the people that don't look like you, that look like a different camp of people. Help without expecting anything in return. Live graciously. Our Father's kind. You be kind. So Jesus is telling us today, don't pick on people. Don't criticize. Don't condemn people when they're down. When somebody's down, don't condemn them. Don't make them feel worse. Give your life away. Stop pointing out the flaws in people. Jesus right here is giving us vision, and he's showing us a better way. He's showing us a better way. He's showing us the way of his love. And everything that Jesus says here, he showed us in the way that he lived all the way to the cross. Amen? Amen. He did. Let's jump over to 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to read this too out of the ESV. 1 John chapter 4, starting with verse 7, it says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Can we read that whole verse 7 together? Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loves us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loves us, we also ought to love one another. If God so loves us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. It's a good word, right? It's the Bible. Verse 13, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he's given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him. And he is in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. Say that with me. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God. And God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so we are in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Verse 19, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must love his brother. So John's exhorting us here. He says, let's love one another. Let us love one another, because love is from God. And anyone who doesn't love doesn't know God. Anyone who doesn't love doesn't know God, because that's who God is. Because God is love. We said last week, it takes God to love God, right? We could also say that it takes God to love our brothers and sisters and our neighbors. We also could say it takes a little bit more love to love certain brothers and certain sisters and certain neighbors, right? Let's just be honest. Real love isn't that we love God, but that he loved us. Remember we talked last week, Romans 5:5. We said the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It's like the greatest gift of the Spirit is the love of God, to be loved. The revelation that God loves us has been poured into our hearts. You are empowered to love God and your brother by the Spirit of God. I'm pointing a lot. I don't know why. I was listening to my message from last week with my kids as they were falling asleep. I don't usually listen to myself. So I had it on my phone just kind of playing it while they were falling asleep. And Emmy leans up. She goes, are you mad? No, I'm not mad. I'm happy. I just get a little intense, okay? So don't take intensity and passion for mad. I'm not mad. This is good news. This is happy news, okay? Are you with me? Okay, so when you know and you experience, I do sound a little mad. When you know and you experience, when you know and you experience, I'm going to do a little happier. When you know and you experience, how's that? You can say anything with a smile on, but the people that listen to the recording, they don't know I'm smiling, right? Okay, I'm smiling. I'm smiling. Isn't that like from Elf or something? Yeah. I love Elf. Strike that from the recording. Okay, so when you know and you experience the love of God, when you know and you experience the first commandment, not only that you love God, but that your love first, you get immersed in that. You get drenched in that love. You're able to respond with love. You can't love without getting immersed in love. You can will it. You can try. You might be able to do good deeds, but at the end of the day, it's going to take the Spirit of God bringing revelation, bringing you back to first love to see how much you're loved, how much you're encountered by the love of God, and then you're going to release that. So John says, no one has ever seen God, but if you love each other, God lives in you. And if his love is brought, and his love is brought to full expression in you, when you love those around you, you're the expression of God. When you love those around you, you know what? I'll tell you, by the Spirit of the Lord, when you walk in love and you have this encounter, that's why we take the time for worship and we encourage that you worship at home and you get in the presence and you get in the Word, your heart gets tenderized, you start feeling the love of God for you, you start encountering it, which is not emotionalism. There's a big difference between that. Where you encounter the love of God, all of a sudden you become a different person and you're going to start giving yourself in ways you never thought you could give yourself. You're going to start forgiving at levels that you never imagined you were capable of because you've encountered the love of God. You're going to start sacrificing your life and your time in ways you never dreamed you would. You're going to start laying down your life for people because you have seen and encountered the love of God in your own life, and you won't be able to hold it anymore. You just got to let it go. It's a gift of the Spirit in you to release that. When you know and you experience that love of the Father, it's going to cause you to love extravagantly. We are the expression of God's love. When you behold love, you become love. When you behold love, you become it. When you have a revelation and encounter with the love of the Father, you release that same revelation and that same encounter through loving the community around you. You have to have the first before you can live in the second. Can I hear an amen on that? God is love, and he's looking for those who are going to release his love to a generation. We love each other because he first loved us. And if somebody says, I love God, but hates his brother or sister, we just read it says that that person is lying. They're a liar. Because if we aren't love to people that we can see and we can touch, how can we love our Father who we cannot see? How could we ask the world to do it? I've heard people say lots of different times that Christians can be the nastiest or meanest people. I've also heard the opposite, you know, they're the most awesome people. But, you know, you hear this every once in a while. Oh, those Christians, they're so mean and judgmental and nasty and whatever. And I just want to tell you that, I just want to suggest to you that that's impossible. It is impossible to be a follower of Jesus Christ and be a nasty, mean person. The nasty, mean people in here are looking at me nasty and mean. Just kidding. I don't think we have any of those in here. Seriously, I was kidding. There's no such thing as loving Jesus and loving the Father without loving people. It's no such thing. You just can't. The grace to love as God loves comes only from being soaked in God love. And the more that you encounter that love, the more you return to first love, like we talked last week, the more you immerse yourself in the reality that it loved you first, the more you release that wherever you go. I want to tell you today, the heart of God is that we would have his heart for people. That we would carry his dream for people. That you would walk in a way that you would encounter him in such a way that you would begin to unlock the destiny and the calling of people in the community around you. Do you know that you have keys to unlock things in people in this room and in the people in your sphere of influence that nobody has? He values this. The church needs to be the most hope-filled, encouraging, calling out the dreams and calling out the plans of God in other people than any other group on the face of the earth. We need to be the ones that believe in people. We need to be the ones that see those gifts in people and we call them out and not afraid to do it because of our own insecurities. Not afraid to speak life and encouragement and blessing on people because we're afraid maybe they'll get ahead of us. We need to be the ones that encourage dreams rather than shoot dreams down. That's what the family, that's what the body of Christ is to do. Sometimes God will want to use someone too. Somebody will come to you and share a dream and you won't like the package that they are in. How will you respond? Sometimes God's going to want to use people for things that you don't think they should be used by God for that thing. Well, who are you? Who am I to judge that? We're to be those that believe. There are times just moments in life where I literally feel the love of God for people. I don't know, it's kind of happened for most of my life where I'll literally, it's sort of a sensation, like the tenderness of God for someone. I'll feel his pleasure over somebody, or sometimes in worship, I'll just feel his love for you. I remember a couple Wednesday nights ago, Charity was leading worship and she was singing this song and I just started crying, and I'm not even a crier. And I just started feeling the tenderness of our Father over this community, over this church, and just tears coming down my face because I felt his love for you. How many know that that's the love of God being poured out? And in those moments, you know, it'll turn into like a prophetic thing. I'll start speaking something into somebody's life. I want to tell you, that's not just for me to do. That's for the whole community to do. You created to feel the pleasure of God for people and the love of God for people, to call out what's in them. How many know this is the love of God being poured out? I want to just read this. Proverbs 27, 17 says, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. We need each other. We need each other. And I'm not talking about just a Sunday in the hall, high five, how you doing kind of a way. I'm talking about a walking together, a walking in love together, a being a people that know one another. We need each other. We have to resist isolation. We have to resist independence, that independent spirit, that independent kind of American thing where we're strong and we just go on. We have to resist that. We need the sharpening of relationship. The love that is shown through honest exchange together. Not shallow interactions, but transparent knowing. A transparent knowing of one another. Where I can share with you what's really going on with me. And I'm not going to be afraid of you. Sometimes people say, oh, ministers, you can't really do life with the people that you're leading. Oh, really? What kind of life is that? That's no kind of life at all. I'm not afraid of you knowing what's wrong with me. What are you gonna do? Kill me? Talking about walking together in vulnerable honesty. Knowing one another after the Spirit, knowing our brothers and sisters, who they really are, and reminding them who they are when they forget who they are. Because sometimes we forget who we are. Sometimes fear overcomes us and we forget who we really are, and we forget the call of God on our life, and we get bogged down, and all of a sudden we need the people we're walking with to remind us who we really are. We have to fight isolation. We have to fight independence, that independent spirit. The church, the body of Christ, has got to be a place where it's safe. Where we create a safe place for people to come. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. I just want to read this. It's a New Living Translation. I love how it reads. Verse 9, you don't need to go there. It says, two people are better off than one. Sometimes people, you know, use this for weddings or things, but this, I believe it's for the whole body of Christ. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. Who are you helping succeed? We have to fight the antichrist culture of success that's all around us, of we need to succeed. And we have to go to a place where we are concerned about the community and the brothers and sisters and the neighbors around us succeeding over ourselves. If one person falls, it says the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? We do this with our clothes on, unless you're married, okay? A person standing alone. Keep your clothes on. You can tweet that. It says verse 12. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Now, I'm not talking about just the idea of this. I'm talking about the body of Christ living and walking in the reality of this. We have so many good ideas we ascend to as a church, but how do we really live this out? We have people probably in this room that have fallen alone, and you're right here in the middle of a crowd. Who's there to pick you up? You have to resist isolation. You have to resist temptation to be independent and do it on your own. There's nothing worse than being alone in the middle of a crowd, right? There's nothing worse than that. The heart of the Father is together. The heart of the Father is His design was Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you and me, community, the New Testament church, the body of Christ, walking together, walking in love, walking in relationship, no more hiding. Where we come out of hiding and we present ourselves to each other and we're known by each other. Jesus, He gives a real powerful window into the importance that He places on relationship in Matthew 5. Verses 23 and 24, it'll be on the screen. He just says this. He says, this is how He feels about relationship between us. So if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. In other words, if you're coming to church, Jesus says, if you're coming to church to worship God and you remember that somebody has something against you, leave your gift. Run out of church. Go. Go and be reconciled. Go and fix it. Go repair it. Then come back and offer your sacrifice of worship. It's so important that Jesus says, hold your gift. Hold your worship, reconcile, make it right, and then come back. Are you catching the significance of this? This is big. This is really big. And this isn't even if you know you did something. This is if somebody has something against you, you know there's something out there. There's something floating around. There's something that maybe you've done, or there's a friction, or there's some sort of thing. He says, hold your sacrifice. I want you to put us on hold, in essence. Don't hide behind religion. Don't hide behind religion and going to church. Leave that worship place. Go make peace. Go to your friend and repair and make things right. And then come back and offer your sacrifice. It's that important to me. I value relationship that much. That's what He's saying. How many say that that's probably a really big deal if He's saying, hold your worship, hold your sacrifice right now, make that right, and then come back and worship me. It's pretty important, right? God is a God of relationship. From the beginning, He's always been about relationship. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And His dream is not only one of love and relationship vertically, but His dream is that we would live the way Father, Son, Holy Spirit live, the way Jesus and His Father were together as one. His dream is to see His sons and His daughters walking in love and in depth together. He's talking about us in this room in Springfield, Missouri, in the Bible Belt. People in here have gone to church for 30 years. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, He's saying, I've got a place for you to go that you've not been. I've got a depth of relationship that I want you to walk in with those around you that you have not been. He's saying, don't be imitators of the shallowness of culture, but love one another deeply. This is a love that is not of this world. It's a love that goes as far as to say, love your enemies. Why is this? Because our Father's kingdom is a different kingdom than the world we live in. relationship. He says, I want you to imitate me in the world. I'm kind, you be kind. Show them real love. Show them my love. The love that you've encountered with me, you go and show them that love. I don't want any distance. You know, we talked last week about distance. God doesn't want any distance, and distance sort of happens one little step at a time. All of a sudden, you're walking, going through form, going through motions, and all of a sudden your heart is far from God. I believe it works the same way relationally. Things you don't deal with. Things pile up in another step, and all of a sudden there's distance, and God says, I don't want distance between my kids. I want closeness. I want relationship. I want them flowing in relationship. John 17 is the prayer of Jesus just before he's betrayed and he's arrested. And the entire chapter is his prayer for the disciples and for all who will believe. Have you all read that chapter before? John 17, it's so powerful. It's an entire chapter of the prayer of Jesus just before he's arrested. And you hear his heart and you feel his heart towards us. I'm going to read it. John 17, starting with verse 18. It says, Jesus says, it's his prayer, so he's praying to God. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. Talking about his disciples. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in truth. He's praying about these original 12 here, okay? Verse 20 says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Now he's praying for us. He's praying for you. He's praying for me. That they may all be one. Can we say that together? That they may all be one. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them that they may be one even as we are one. Whew. I in them, you in me, that they may become perfectly one so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. Whew. Can I hear a wow? I mean, that is like, that's an unbelievable prayer. I mean, first of all, the fact that Jesus is praying for us. Not only did he pray for us right then, those that would come and those who would believe, he's praying for us right now at the right hand of the Father. You can know that whenever you're having a difficulty in loving those around you, when you're having a difficulty in your relationships with people, whether it's a spouse or whether it's a friend or whether it's whoever it is, Jesus has covered you in prayer. How many want the prayers of Jesus? Man, I'll take Jesus praying over me any day. He's covered you in that. When there's disunity and there's friction and you don't know how to work through something, Jesus has covered you in prayer. He says, come back to me. Get in my love. Get a revelation of my love. And then I'm going to show you and I'm going to release it. It's going to come through the Spirit of God in your life. You're going to be able to walk that love out with that person. So Jesus prays that they may all be one. And his prayer is on behalf of everybody, that we would be one, just like Jesus and the Father are one, so that the world will believe that God sent Jesus. And then he says, I give my glory to them. And the reason is so that they would be one. And that the world would know that God loves them. We could say like this, Jesus gives us his glory so that we will be one. The church, okay? He's talking about the church. That we will be one. So the world will know that God loves us. Our oneness, our unity, our love for one another is on display for the world to see. The way in which you treat those in the church, your Christian brothers or sisters, your family, we're on display for the world to see because we're the expression of God's love on the earth. Whenever you have disunity, whenever you have frictions and difficulties, you know, the world is watching how you respond. And Jesus knows this. He's praying for us, and he's covered us in prayer. He's saying, make them one. Make them perfectly one so that the world will come to me. The world will know how much I love them because they see how much they love each other. George Hay, who was in here earlier, he said to me years ago, and it really stuck with me, he said he felt like when the church begins to love each other in the way that the scriptures say to love each other, he said, the world is going to be jealous for it. And there we're going to be standing with our arms wide open to welcome them. And I don't mean welcome them in this building. I mean welcome them out in the marketplace. I'm not talking about bring your friend to church to get him saved. That's not what we do anymore. That's like 20 years ago. You go get him saved and bring him into the church. Right? Am I upsetting you? You show the love in the place of influence that you have. God's putting you in strategic places of leadership in your company or in your work or the city or wherever, teaching, whatever it is. You're there on display for the world to see. The way that you love is on display that the world would see and know that God loves them because he loves you out there in that place. And they're going to come running, church. I'm telling you, Springfield, Missouri. I said this in the first service. I'm kind of a simple guy. Like, there's lots of things I don't know, I don't understand, but I really do believe this: that when the church in Springfield, Missouri, gets this love thing, I really believe that's what's going to really bring a revival and a shift of the lost coming to Jesus. Because then when they see how, they'll know we're Christians by our love, right? When they see the love and the extravagant sacrifice and giving and the extravagant forgiveness that we offer one another, they're going to say, I want what that is. And you're not going to have to even preach. You're just going to live it. You're going to live it where you are. You're going to release that. But we need each other. The dream of his heart, the prayer of Jesus is that we'd be one, that we'd be in relationship, in a depth of relationship with one another, a reflection of the relationship of Jesus and his Father. Do you hear his heart? Do you feel his desire for us as a body to not just go through religious routine, but to really be a community, to really be together, to really be in oneness? And I'll tell you what, Jesus' prayer will be answered. It's getting answered. One way or another. It is. And when the world sees the church walking in love and walking with each other, they'll want what we have. This is why we have to walk in the Jesus way. This is why this is so important. We have to walk in the Jesus way. This is why we have to turn the other cheek. This is why you can't repay evil for evil. This is why you have to walk in forgiveness and you have to get rid of offenses quickly. Do you see the importance of this? It isn't just about you. It's about the entire world coming to him by the way that we walk. This is why we have to lay down our lives for one another in extravagant sacrifice and really be there for one another. This is why we have to open our homes to one another and we have to show hospitality to one another, even when it costs us something. This is why we have to believe in one another. It's going to make the world jealous and they're going to come. And again, I want to say they're not going to come to the church. They're going to come to you wherever you are. This is why we have to be happy to humble ourselves so that others can be exalted. Husbands, have you ever thought about your wife succeeding more than you? Have you thought about her being happy and her growing into the fullness, the full thing that God has for her to be? Or is she living for your dream? I was just asking. Woo! We have to be those people who want others to succeed more than we care about our own success. Because that's the Jesus way. That's the Jesus love. This is why we have to be the people that refuse to be in a clique. We have to be those that open our arms and open our homes and not be partial to people that don't look like us. This isn't about just finding people that are like you and doing life with them. This is about opening our entire lives up, our entire being, to say we want to be the expression of the love of Jesus on the earth and include those who don't look like us. Can't we all sit down at the table even with our differences? I'm not talking about everybody agreeing on everything. We're going to not agree on everything. The body of Christ is not going to agree on everything. But what about sitting down and talking and showing love and showing honor to one another in all of it? We are the ones that are to honor our brothers and our sisters. We are the expression of Jesus on the earth. And we are not made to do this alone. Isolation kills. Isolation will kill you. You could be in the middle of this room and you're isolated. You have isolated yourself. Maybe circumstances in life have caused you to be isolated. Isolated isn't being one. It's not the dream of Jesus' heart. Being alone, being separate. We need each other. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 says, "But exhort, encourage one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Hebrews 10, 24 says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as it is the habit for some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." I think about the early church, and I'm about to close. In Acts chapter 2, they devoted themselves to each other. That was the pattern. They didn't live in the American culture. They set a pattern. They devoted themselves to each other. They devoted themselves to breaking bread and fellowship together. They devoted themselves to studying the scriptures in community. They devoted themselves to prayer together. And it says day by day in the temple and in their homes, they did this. We are not talking about Sunday morning, Wednesday evening church. As much as I'm so excited about these life groups, and it gets an aspect of this, I'm not talking even about that. I'm talking about a whole new way of doing life. Lift your vision higher to a place in a land that you've never walked in, because you ache for it inside. I know you do, because I do too. I ache to walk with people. I ache for this community to be a true community where we know one another and we call out the things in one another and we put those keys in and we turn them in each other and we see those gifts stirred up in the encouragement and the sharpening of the Lord. That when one person falls, you're there to pick them up. This is not about organized religion. Please come to church on Sundays and Wednesdays. I like my job. But this is way beyond that. Do you hear my heart? More than my heart, do you hear the heart of the Father? This has got to go way beyond the staff trying to organize some sort of Christian life for you. That's ridiculous. We're here to equip you and empower you for works of ministry, not to organize your social life and organize even your spiritual life for you. That is your job. It is your place to walk in love with the Father and release the love of the Father. It is you. It is not me. And I think Pastor Gary agrees with that. I'm just kidding. Would you stand with me? I feel like I have been kind of intense here today, but I feel really intense because I feel the heart of the Lord on this. Would you just lift your hands together with me? Can we just lift up our voices and just praise the Lord for a moment? Would you do it? Just begin to praise Him. just to begin to exalt him. Just begin to exalt the name of Jesus. Just exalt him. We bless your name, Father, in this house. We exalt the name of Jesus. We exalt the name of Jesus. We exalt and magnify the name of Jesus. We enthrone you on our praise right now. We enthrone you on the praises of your people. We exalt the name of Jesus. We exalt you, Father. We exalt you. Everything goes to you. Everything starts with you, and we praise you. Just press in for a moment, church. We got a couple of minutes. Just lift your voices. We bless the name of the Lord. We bless the name of the Lord. We bless the name of the Lord. We exalt you, Jesus. Whew. Holy Spirit, it is you. You're here to empower us for everything that's been shared today. You are here to empower us. This is not to be a weight today on you. This is not to be a weight, a natural fleshly weight. This is to be good news, because it's going to be the Spirit of God that does this in and through you. So we welcome you, Holy Spirit, to pour out your love right now, even on us. Fresh revelation, fresh encounter with Jesus. Fresh encounter with Jesus. Fresh encounter with Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. This morning, I really just sense that from what the scriptures have shared with us, what the heart of the Lord has shared this morning, that there would be people in this room today that really just needed to repent. And that means just turn away into the opposite direction. I'm just going to ask everybody, just close your eyes today. I'm just going to just be before him. My eyes are closed too. And the Lord is just here today, and he's wanting you to turn fully towards him in this arena of love. And so I even just pray, Holy Spirit, that you just bring to our minds in your gentle, loving, kind way things that need to be made right in relationships today, places where we need to humble ourselves. Even right now, places that where we have been in error, where we have not been the expression of love. Even right now, I pray that it would not condemnation, but conviction of the Spirit, which brings life, would just come to our hearts right now. I thank you. I really believe the Holy Spirit's even just right now going to just speak to your heart about things maybe you just need to make right. Maybe you need to shift or change, or just after the service today, go and make a phone call, or go meet with someone, or make it right so that you are truly walking in the expression of love on the earth. So we just welcome you to speak to our hearts, God. We welcome you. Not that we would just hear, but we would do, we would obey, we would respond. Jesus' name. And the other thing I really sense that God wanted to really anoint our hearts to walk in love and to walk beyond where we've been together. And he's going to show you how to do that. If you want to do that, just lift your hand up. My hand's going up. He just wants to anoint your heart to love. He wants to anoint your heart and give you new vision for what oneness and relationship and walking together even means. Let's just ask him, just say, anoint my heart. Anoint my heart. To love you, to love those around us. A vision for together. A vision for together. God, I pray that you'd give us even vision, that craving in our hearts, that ache in our hearts to know and to be known, that ache in our hearts that's really a response to the prayer of Jesus, that we would be one. God, I pray you would give us vision for how to even walk into that in a greater way. I pray against isolation. I pray against that lie of the enemy that you have to be alone. that you can't talk or open up about what's going on in your life. I break off that lie in the name of Jesus. I break that fear off the body of Christ today in the name of Jesus. I pray that anoint our hearts to know you. Charity's going to lead us in worship. I'm going to ask the ministry team to come on up front. If there's anything that you want to prayer for, whether it's maybe you want to just share something that God is speaking to you about this morning, go ahead and come. If you need prayer for healing or anything in your body, but I tell you, this is a land we're going to that we've not been. I really believe that. I have not yet. I've been on staff 18 years at different churches, 11 here, and I have yet to see what my heart craves in this area of walking together. But I'm committed to going there. Are you with me? Awesome. God bless you. She's going to lead us. If you need prayer, please.